All right, this is episode 88 of Ivy's Podcast. I am here with, once again, Rain from the Carefree Black Nerd Podcast.
What's up, man? Happy to be here. Or am I? Shit.
You don't sound too happy. For those that don't know, I have been going through and pretty much only talking about horror movies and sports, of course, all the month of October. So, as this man here, he's not like scary movies.
Hell no.
But he said he was going to do an episode with me, and I said, you know, let me show him some crazy shit.
Yeah.
That he's never seen before.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he's mad at me a little bit.
You know, I don't know, man. I don't know.
So which one you want to start with first? Because I know you.
Even care, man. It's because they both was wild, so I'm good with either one. Either one.
Okay. Since I just rewatched this one, how about we start with Ginger Snaps first?
All right. Yeah.
What was your initial reaction?
The shit was weird. Like, it wasn't even the whole movie that was weird. It was the beginning. It was the start of it. Because I didn't know what I was getting into. When I looked up the movie, I saw there were three movies. I didn't read any of the description and none of them. I just wanted to go into it and just get whatever they gave me. And I thought it was a really good movie. Both of them I thought were good. That Ginger Snaps started off, I mean, they established a lot, but I didn't particularly care for the beginning. Once we got into the shit, I was sold. But I was trying to figure out, like, this is like some late 90s, early 2000s shit. Where is this movie? Like, there's a beast roaming around killing dogs. I was like, well, is this a slight Buffy fantasy type war? Or is this just like the regular war? It was. So once I got my head around that, I was good.
It's definitely a product of its time, because one thing, believe it or not, It's gonna make it sound so crazy. I was 13 when I first saw this movie.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, I was 13. I happened to think I was watching Bravo. It was not Bravo, Bravo USA or one of those networks, and they had a top 20 like most disturbing horror movies that they remember, at least from the mainstream audience appeal. It's most messed up horror movies that you've probably never seen before.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, cool. I'm gonna check it out. I think it just happened to be on TV maybe like 2 weeks later. So I'm like, okay, cool. Let me check it out. It gives me a lot of vibes of Jennifer's Body.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think there's this trend, and I noticed this when I watched Blair Witch Project, Blair Witch 2. I think they did like a remake of like a sequel of Carrie in like 2002. They all kind of have this very strange, almost edgelord feel to it. Because I guess that was like the style in the late 90s and 2000s. Shit, I'm fucking, I was a kid. But it's looking like that's kind of what it's all leaning into. And I think that kind of holds back what the movie was really wanting to say. Meanwhile, I think Jennifer, you pretty much tell a similar story to that with Jennifer's Body. You're doing this movie 10 years later, or well, the style of movie 10 years later, and it's way better.
Yeah. I can agree. It felt, one thing I liked about it is it felt like Pleasantville. It felt like WandaVision in some spot. Like the suburban aspects of it were so outlandish, but they felt very early 2000s. It felt like cookie cutter homes, hockey in the street, everybody got a Christmas tree on their front lawn. Like I think that part made it even more ridiculous. That's not the word I'm looking for. Even more like fantastic, like when the supernatural shit started actually happening, it's like, yeah, but you're on this backdrop of this like weird ass, almost Stepford Wives type of suburban space. And I like that aspect. I like that it held that as its backdrop, but then you got into the school, you got to see the kids, and there's a very particular feeling of grunge, 2000s, white, suburban, kind of borderline, crossing over to hip-hop. There's this very particular space that this movie occupies that it was like extreme camp. It was the suburban Stepford Wife shit. It was the supernatural Buffy Angel charm shit. But then it was like wrapped up in like a early Mean Girls type of bow. It's wild. This is a wild ass movie.
It really is, man. And I think the reason I was telling you I'm laughing so much is it's in hindsight because I saw it when I was like way younger. Mm-hmm. I understood everything and I really felt them. I said, nah, they're going through some real shit. And I'm watching it later. I said, bro, they aren't doing shit. Like,
at all.
They just here complaining.
Yeah.
The part that always kills me, and here's why I'll be laughing at it. One, and this is one thing they did that they noted, which honestly, maybe because we were young and I was already sex sets. So I thought it was a cool concept. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The fact that this whole, you don't even really know much about the beast either.
Right.
Like the fact that it's supposed to be, you take this metaphor for puberty and women getting their periods and you're turning it into this concept of becoming most fucking werewolves, but then you have an actual werewolf in the movie too, but then that werewolf is killed early on. So I think that concept itself was cool. I still die laughing. Old boy started tweaking when he realized he had like this weird type of STD. Yo. I said, how the fuck does this even work?
Bro. Fucking.
I'm like.
And I think it's something to be said for what you said about puberty and women turning into monsters. Because when homeboy got the quote unquote STD, like his acne went insane. But genders didn't. So, like, a girl hitting puberty versus a guy, like, his voice changed. It was, like, a little raspier, a little deeper. Acne for days. I mean, they both had tails. But, there's something there that maybe I'm not smart enough to unpack. But, yeah, that nigga face went full pizza, man. Shit was gross.
Did that. He was peeing blood. I said, nah, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
It's the metaphor, man. If there's a movie that I think, I'm not big on remakes, but there's movies that I think that could be remade. Yeah. I think that is one of them because there's a new layers of conversation you can add to it because you're having this movie 20 years ago. I feel like it's almost like watching Degrassi a little bit. Like you have this thing that is very stuck and it's very relatable and what think people are going through, but it's very stuck in its decade and stuck in its time.
Yeah.
So I think probably an update of that will give it a kind of a new light. Hell, I said the same thing about Jennifer's Body. I said, nah, Diablo Cody needs to go through and remake this movie.
Okay.
Because the marketing, that's a different story, but the marketing fucked that Jennifer's Body movie all the way up.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting takes. Yeah. Jennifer's Body, man. Oof. No, I can see this being remade, though. And honestly, even I can see being... Though. Yeah.
I think here's how you know it's part of the time. When Ginger got her little confidence and everything, now that she is a werewolf, did she not look just like Rogue?
Bro, I was like, and the thing that this came out in, what, in 01? When did that first X-Men movie come out?
It came out in 01, but it was filmed in 99.
Yeah.
So that was really just like the style. Like,
you could have just, I think she was a better Rogue. Honestly, looking at the old movie, I do. She is not, I'm not a fan. I am not a fan at all.
You really not a fan of Anna Paquin, bro.
At all. I don't like her. I watched all of True Blood and still was like, not a fan. But yeah, that chick, the way she moved, the clothes she wore, the confidence she had, her hair. Yeah, I was like, all right, I got them Rogue vibes. I did.
If you think she's better for some reason.
Ugh. I don't know, man. Anna.
You hate Anna, man. Anna's cool.
She cool, yeah. But she ain't no she cool. Not my rogue. Yeah. Yeah, she, I mean, she all right. She all right. I think she is a good actress. I just think it's the everything surrounding her. Like, Asuki, she didn't bother, like, that character bothered me, but I thought Anna did a really good job. And even with Rogue, my issues with her cannot fall on Anna. It's more or less the creative team. So I can admit that, but
no. She said, not my Rogue.
Nah, not my Rogue. Not my America. Not
my Rogue, man.
Not make Rogue great again. No. Man.
Now, here's the one. This is the one I wanted to show you. I was going back and forth on Ginger Snaps or Willy's Wonderland. And I said, I'm not going to fuck him up at 3.
Willy's Wonderland? What the fuck? Let me write that down. Just in case.
Oh, no. Just you just got to look it up. Just look it up real quick. Just look it up. All and right. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about it.
Let's see. Willy's.
The real MVP is in it.
Yo, why is he in it? Okay, let's see. Images. This shit looks wild as fuck. Whoa, bro. Nope. Is this?
It's supposed to be. So, what happened? You kind of know, like, the whole licensing. It takes forever to make a Five Nights at Freddy's movie. Mm-hmm. Between the Banana Splits movie, which I think I may have covered last year, and Willy's Wonderland, you have these companies trying to capitalize on Willy's Wonderland. I mean, on Five Nights at Freddy's. He's like a drifter that goes through town, and his car is, and I think he fucks up his car in the middle of nowhere, and they tell him, like, hey, we will get your whole car, we'll have your car fixed ready in the morning for you to head on your way, but you got to clean our whole restaurant, and oh, they're killer animatronics, so hopefully he lives and survives. This nigga does not talk throughout the whole movie. He does not talk through the whole movie, bro. He just sits there and reacts to shit.
What? Why is Nicholas? What years? Because, like, bro, why this is
like
he
literally
doing
like last year? I saw it in theaters last year.
So he made a choice to do this. Yes, bro. Okay.
When he said he's never going to retire from acting, I said, "Thank God, my prayers have been answered."
This shit is wild. Just the images look ridiculous,
bro.
Willy's Wonderland, man. Kiss my ass, Nicolas Cage. What the fuck, bro?
Bro, Nicolas Cage is the GOAT.
No, for real. This nigga.
He's the GOAT, man. Mandy. Oof. Mandy is
a trip.
That's something that I have to tell everybody about when I get them to watch it. Mandy's the one.
Yeah.
Mandy's the one, man.
Mandy felt like two movies, and not in a bad way. I honestly enjoyed it, but I think something, well, I ain't gonna say something was missing. Yeah, but I think something was missing from Mandy and, was it Red? Their relationship in the beginning. Like, I got that they were in love and they were together. Like, that, all that's fine. Once shit started happening, it's still a good movie. Nothing about it, I feel like, needs to be taken out. But I feel like I just needed maybe like 5-10 minutes more of them in the beginning. I don't know. Mandy is like, they living in the woods. Yeah, go.
It's hard to explain, man.
It's and one thing I do like, and this ain't even me being funny, Mandy was like a plain looking white girl. She was not fantastically beautiful. And so for all the shit to happen, I think it made it a little bit more kind of terrifying. And it's like, this is a regular bitch in the woods with her dude. You know, and this shit is happening to them. So I like that she wasn't like this over-the-top, beautiful, big-breasted, fashionable. Like, she was just a regular, like, sensitive chick. And
which, knowing what the inspiration behind the movie was, you would automatically kind of think that they would go for like that type of woman, because it's very Flash Gordon, 80s power metal, and kind of movies that were a little based around that. It's very that one Teen Titans Go movie episode.
The Night Watch. That's what my favorite. I can't think of it, but yeah, when it was in fucking Rockland with the Meadowland or whatever. Yeah.
That is exactly this movie. And
I could see that.
And I'm not mad at when a woman is just like a regular white woman being a love interest or whatever, because I think it adds to some sort of level of how sick this cult is.
Mm-hmm.
That cult is sick. You have these fucking Cenobites, these bootleg Cenobites from Hellraiser.
Yeah.
I love how they don't explain shit in this movie. You just kind of just got to sit there and you got to just run with it.
Yeah.
They don't give any shit
at all. Like, we get a little bit of description from like Bill Duke about the group, but when they showed up, I was like, is these niggas demons or are they like human? Like, yeah. Where these motherfuckers come from?
And you don't find out who these niggas were till hour in.
Like, yeah.
That description came in hour in, so you just gotta roll with it.
Night Begins to Shine. That's what it is.
Night Begins to Shine.
Yeah, I had to look at that shit. Yeah, it's honestly, I like this movie. It's big. It's like a big, it's quiet, but it's big. There's not even a lot of cast. Like, there's Mandy and her dude, Bill Duke, then you got like maybe the 5 to 7
cult members.
But like all of them don't even speak. So, you know, it's not a big cast at all. There's some shit, man.
I'm trying to remember. I think we have seen it in theaters. I might have seen this one in theaters.
I would like to have seen this in theater, honestly.
I'm either thinking of that or The Color Out of Space, which is another Nicolas Cage movie. I saw them both the same year. I can't remember which one I saw in theaters. It's something about a Nicolas Cage movie that has 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. You just got to check it out to see what it is. And...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm with it. Because this is so... I mean, simply put, it's like a nigga getting revenge for his girl. But like... It's so much more than that.
That's what I was about to say. It's a revenge story, but that's not even doing it justice. It's very surreal and like it's based off of your senses, experience.
Mm-hmm,
The way the cinematography, lighting, and editing changes the moment they drug her with the psychedelics.
Oh, that's
because you're supposed to experience kind of what she's feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
And they leaned into comedy with the cult leader thinking, he's like, yeah, you're blessed to be in my presence. She's like, nigga, who the fuck are you?
Bro, when she laughed at that nigga. I was like, man, y'all could have pulled that camera up a little bit. But, hey. I mean, I get it, but I was like, this nigga, the fact that
I understand why they set her on fire.
Bro, she laughed. Her laughing, I wasn't even going to laugh. I was just like, the fuck? But by the time... Yeah, I couldn't. Yeah.
And he started masturbating in front of her.
She laughed at these niggas.
Like... And she just laughing at that nigga, bro. I said, nah, listen, nah, get her out of here. It's a wrap.
Yeah, it's over. You got to die.
I think what I really like about her death, not the death, her death literally, but there's this one specific kill that I always really liked in the Friday the 13th series.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when Jason takes somebody who's sleeping in a sleeping bag and beats the shit out, like just beats the shit out of him against the tree. kind of reminds me of that. Hey, I like it.
No, yeah, but okay.
And then it's pretty. When I watch horror movies, I like outside of. I don't like leaning into ultra violence just for the sake of it, but I like watching when you come up with a creative way to kill someone. That's something that I would never think of.
Yeah.
And I said, damn, holding somebody in the sleeping bag upside down and lighting it on fire.
That's not
something I would think about. And then Nicolas Cage with his phenomenal acting again.
Mm-hmm.
He sold that. He for real sold that.
Yeah.
Up until the second half when he goes home. This nigga is in his draws.
Man, say. It did.
Just screaming.
What? I was confused. Okay, so that clears up. Because I was like, is he still... did this happen at the cult people's house, right?
Yep. So this nigga went all the way home.
Yeah, and nothing but his. I was like, you could have went into their house and maybe got a long dress, something, nigga. Like you in the tidy whities.
And he just sat there. He's screaming for minutes on end. Bro. I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah.
I think because I was in the middle of working when I put my head down because I've seen it before. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, at the point where he goes to her ashes, I'm like, okay, I got some time before shit really kicks in. Mm-hmm. I just hear a nigga screaming. I said, God damn, what did I miss again?
Man, say that I wouldn't have been no good. That's what I said. I'm glad I wasn't high and I'm glad I wasn't drunk because I couldn't have watched this and been like serious. Like, I was when he got to screaming in them drawers, drinking vodka in the bathroom, like, what the fuck was this scene? Yeah. Yeah,
I promise you, Nicolas Cage, that was his idea.
Yeah, had to be, because that nigga...
That scene was specifically his idea, for sure.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I like him. I've always liked him as an actor, but this really was... I was like, yeah, he's doing different shit. I like this. So
that's when I realized he chooses movies. He doesn't necessarily choose good or bad movies. He chooses movies that will let him be as crazy as he wants to be.
Mm-hmm. He was crazy, this nigga.
Crazy as hell.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have Bill Duke, who's pretty much there just for exposition purposes.
But hey,
he said, yeah, my old friend that I never mentioned before. What am I getting into? It's pretty much a scary movie version of John Wick.
You know what?
Hey, can I get my crossbow?
Yeah,
that can conveniently cut through people's bones.
Yeah, you absolutely right. That's exactly what this is. Yo.
It's like the metal version of John Wick, literally.
Bro, when he forged that sword, I was about to turn that fucking movie off. I'm like, what the fuck is this? You live in the woods? You do, like, construction? It's like, what are you doing,
fam? And that is that axe. I want to buy that battle axe that he has. Because that is the coolest looking shit I've ever seen in my life.
I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice.
Mm-mm. And it is. This movie is fucking... stylistically, it just jumps up. It mm-hmm. goes up immediately. Everything that you thought you were, it became a flex visually at one point.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
From the moment he started killing everybody,
mm-hmm.
and it's sick. It's really sick, especially when he kills the fucking. I'm gonna keep calling them Cenobites because they look just like the niggas from Hellraiser.
Yo, they. Now that's what I say. Where the fuck is this movie? Like, literally, where is it? Like, are they, because at the end it's like some sci-fi futuristic dystopian shit. Like, the end shot does not match the start. Like, if you show somebody just the first shot and like him riding off at the end on that little Hummer or whatever, that ain't the same movie.
This movie takes place in Southern California,
1983. Nah, this is... Bro. This some Star Trek shit, bro. This ain't.
It might as well be. It's like one point, then they doing something from Seven. That one fat Cenobite, man. He had that nasty ass blade. I said, is that a dildo? And he used to have sex with?
I don't know what the fuck is going on. Because when they stabbed Red, I think that's his name, I was like, is this not going to come back later? Is he not like poisoned or infected?
No.
That was nothing. It was like, yeah, this pig's blood all over this. Like, but this nigga fine. He good.
Bro, he don't give. He was moving. He did not give a shit.
Yeah, nah.
He didn't give a single shit. And I'm trying to remember who's the one that stood out to me. Mm. Oh, he sets a nigga on fire, chops his head off.
Mm. Yeah, light work. Light work.
Cause like the one where he's the fat dude, man. Like, how is he getting stabbed with his metal dick, and then still finds way to slit his throat? I'm just like, my nigga, you are Jesus at this point, bro. What are you?
Yeah, that.
Like, at least John Wick was an assassin. Who is this nigga?
A husband. That's it. You get a husband, you got powers, I guess. But
bro, and. It was just vile, bro. Yeah. Especially when all the cult leaders kept dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that shit was gross. The one that really fucked me, I was good with everything except for the nigga on the tree. who was driving when he put that shit through his mouth. I was like, ah.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, everything else, I was good.
He put the opposite side of the blade through. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, ugh.
And they just linger on it, too.
Yes. And I was like, ah, this is the part that I can't. The rest of the shit is whatever. But this.
Not one that gets me, because how did this nigga throw this axe? I don't know if it's an axe of his. He threw it in like clean connected with old boy's head.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like you said, he's John Wick, but for horror movies.
Oh, here's one death that fucked me up. With the Cenobites, first of all, I'm gonna go backwards in order. So let's go backwards real quick. After he kills a few of those whatever Cenobite dudes, he tastes that nasty goo, and that scene of the face melting. I said, Jesus, is this a drug?
Mm-mm.
And mind you, this dude, one of them consumed a full jar of it.
Bro.
He just said, fuck reality.
Yeah.
That nigga is literally living a whole fucking action movie in his head every day.
Mm-mm. Keep that.
Notice the white curly headed dude. I said, oh, I don't know why. I don't know how I can explain it. He's about to die. You didn't know how. You didn't know when. You didn't know where.
Mm-hmm.
That white dude in the trailer, you said,
yeah,
he looks a little bit too out of place. That nigga's dead.
I don't even know what the fuck this movie is. Like, I'd watch it again with no problem, but
it's an experience.
Yeah, no, it is. And I want to watch it high. I really do. I want to be high as shit and turn this fucking movie on. Yeah, I got the sense that he was like collecting people along the way. Like, I don't know, man. I want to know more about that cult, too. Like, I mean, without knowing more, I still like the movie, but how do you get this collection of people to be like, yeah, this nigga is, he's Jesus. We finna do what he say. Ugh. Yuck. Yeah. Shit's wild.
What about, I saw you tweet about the random animations.
Yeah. I was expecting more. It wasn't bad at all. I mean, it fit with the aesthetic of the movie, but when I saw that first one, I thought we was going to go like right into, what's that movie? Cool. What is it? Cool something. With the nigga got sucked into that cartoon universe. What is that movie? Yeah, but I thought we were about to go like full animation. Damn. And yeah, I thought we were going to get more of Mandy, because I was very convinced that since we didn't see the body, that there was some type of trying to trick us and be like, that was one of his other girls he burnt up and they still had Mandy. Man, I was so mad when they did. Cool World, that's what it is. Cool World. You seen that?
No, I have not.
Bro, this movie, this is from 92. I grew up watching this, which is very inappropriate. I was not supposed to be watching this. It's like Roger Rabbit, but like with sex. Yeah, and they get pulled into a cartoon world. But that's what I thought they were doing. Was, you know, now we, it's going to be cartoon for the rest, or at least for the second act. But yeah, that was trippy, man. That was trippy. Mm-mm.
That reminded me of some shit. I like the animation of it.
Mm-hmm.
It never felt like it was out of place or it was just going to stop, even for it to just be dream sequences.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But I feel like that ending shot was strictly there just for Nicolas Cage to make a face, because he didn't really get to make a serious face to be making.
Nigga. Yeah. I seen the GIF that you've posted, and I still wasn't ready to see that shit in the movie.
Because you're not ready for it, because you don't know why he's making that face.
Yeah, I was like, all right, I know it's coming. I wasn't ready.
Bro, that shit fucks me up every time I see it still. Because he's really in his head thinking that, like, his wife is still with him. And then you see him like, nah, that nigga is batshit insane.
Oh, yes. He's been through it. Like, even his voice was changing throughout the movie. Like, this nigga, yeah. Yeah, that shit is sick. Just covered in blood. I'm like, this nigga, you might have survived, but I know you got, like, so many diseases now. Like, you're going to die soon. There's no, you don't make it out of this. Whew. Mandy in that wig.
You said the wig.
Yeah, man. See,
why do you think it was a wig? You don't think that was just her real naturally?
I hope that was a wig. Oh, you know, shit.
I think that was her hair, bro. I think that was really her hair.
Okay, well, all right, white woman, you do what you got to do. That's.
I remember I was going when them niggas broke into their crib. Them flashing lights, bro. I said, Jesus, I'm having a heart attack.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot. But I actually liked that sequence. Like, that, something about that felt, when those demon niggas showed up, it always felt like not science fiction, like a fantasy. Like, it felt more, I'll just say fantasy, than what it was. And, like, seeing them in this, like, leather face cover shit, and then, like, the cult members in just, like, plaid shirts. It's like, this shit don't match, but it worked. I like
it. Does. And Eve, I think since it establishes itself that you're not watching anything that's going to operate in logic or in universe, really, they can get away with doing whatever they want. Like, having these strobe lights in this scene in any other movie would not work, because you'll be questioning, okay, did these niggas set off some strobe lights? Do they put strobe lights on? What is this? But it adds to effect of how terrifying these guys look.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something about these niggas breaking into your crib and kidnapping you.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I just want to know, what was the cult leader's plan with Mandy?
Like,
he just said, I want her.
I would imagine that because the white-haired lady was like his old sexual conquest, that Mandy was like the new pretty thing. Because that chick was jealous of Mandy. She was like, you know, fuck you, buddy, and put that fucking beast thing in her neck and shit. I thought he was like trying to make her his new queen, right-hand chick or something, but...
First of all, that wasp is nasty, man.
Gross.
Like, isn't, like, that thing is, like, dead?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the... Mm-mm. That is a movie that I want to ask somebody who saw it on drugs what their experience watching it looks like.
For real. Because
what am I looking at still? Yeah. I've seen it many times. Mm-hmm. I still don't know what I'm looking
at
every single time watching that shit.
Yeah, I get that, because I think I have to go back and rewatch it just to, like, and take my time. Like, not watch it and just watch it and write notes, but, like, scene by scene, really, like, be in the movie, because it's just a lot of shit happening.
It's detailed. They did a hell of a job with it. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that before. I've never seen anything like this before. And for those who are listening, if you guys are fans of obscure, crazy horror movies, this is the one for you.
Oh, it is. Yes.
This is the one for you, because
it is. It's like, is it Blumhouse? Is it like, it's very.
It looks like a Blumhouse movie for sure.
Yeah, that. But then it's also like revenge, manic pixie dream boy, and then instead of final girl, it's like final boy. But it's a lot of shit going on in this movie. And he, this old ass, that's another thing that I like. And I've always liked it, just in any movie period, but especially like action movies, having older people cast instead of like 23-year-olds doing all this shit. Nicolas Cage is not young. This nigga's not young at all.
Holy shit.
He was, you know, moving. And I'm sure he probably didn't do all his stunts, but even the people he was going up against, all them niggas was, I mean, some of them blonde dudes was kind of young, but like the main antagonist villains were old niggas. That man with the tiger, what the fuck was that about? Like,
I remember, bro, that nigga. Okay, so look it up. It's produced by Legion M, and this movie was pretty much this movie. Said allows fans to invest in and be part of the creative of the creation of films. It was filmed in, believe it or not,
don't say Canada.
It was filmed in part of the United States and part in Belgium.
Okay.
Elijah Wood produced it.
I can see that. I would imagine some of the Wood shots was maybe in Belgium, because
that's definitely what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
This nigga's name is Red Miller.
Yeah, I knew it was Red, but Red Miller, that's very redneck. Well, Red.
They call, bro, Bill Duke's name is Carruthers, and I don't know how to feel about that.
It's very much the no Shining. Black brands. Yeah, that too.
Shining. Bill Duke just wanted to collect the check.
Yeah, for sure, because he was on screen for like, what, maybe 4 minutes? Like, he opened the door and gave his speech, his monologue, and that was it. Yeah.
She says, do you think it's probably because Mandy was an artist?
Okay.
As probably was Mandy being an artist, which made them him flock towards her. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those movies you want to analyze, but you don't want to analyze too much, because at one point it's not going to make any sense.
Yeah. No, you're right about that, goddammit. A lot of that did not make any sense. But I like that. I like that about it, because even with the ending, it's one of the movies where this is done. You could do another one, like, if you wanted to, because it's so weird. Like, what's Bill Duke up to? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the fallout from killing all these people? Then that girl who he didn't kill, who got out the truck, like, did she just drive away? Like, what happened to her? You could do some more with this movie if you wanted to, but it's perfectly fine on its own.
A lot of times we get caught up in sequels, mm-hmm. and what we can... and. I blame social media for that a lot.
Yeah.
Because people, and I think that's the reason we end up getting a dumbass coming to America too. People always want to ask questions that don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
They love asking, hey, but what happened to this? What happened to that? Mm-hmm. I remember that was one of the biggest complaints that people had about Uncut Gems. They said, what happened to his girlfriend and the money? It does not matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, yeah. He spends his whole life waiting for his big score. The movie's not about her. It's about him and him wanting to get his big score from gambling. And what happens after he finally catches the break and wins? He gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was building him getting killed. He gets killed. The movie's over. I think we need to start just leaving movies where they belong. Not everything needs a sequel. Not everything needs a spinoff. I mean, you can if you want to, but.
Because back in the 90s, you would get a movie. And it would be one and done. And I think the explosion of like superhero films being more mainstream and having this extended universe has also contributed to that. But like you said, you Uncut Gems, I was good with that. I didn't need any more movie. In the 90s, you might get a sequel, but you might get a straight to DVD or straight to VHS something. Like, you didn't get true. I don't know. I'm with you. What I'm saying is, I agree. Shit.
I think looking back, even if you did get a sequel in the 90s, a lot of times probably the original actors weren't coming back.
Mm-hmm.
It was never going to be the one thing I remember the most is Speed and Speed 2.
Yeah, that. And you know what? I watched them. Bro. I'm a fan of that series, so I'll watch
bro.
It. They're both.
Bro. Speed 2, I only watch it because of Willem Dafoe. Willem Dafoe being in that movie.
Yo, Oh, let me look that shit up because I might have to watch both of those. Me too. Yo.
And again, I like.
Nigga look crazy, fam.
Crazy as hell. Nigga look crazy as hell.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I'll emphasize, I really do enjoy. I enjoy sequels. I enjoy building a universe. But that's only if stories that are meant that can tell the story and are meant to do it. This is kind of not one of those ones. Ginger Snap wasn't one of those ones either to me.
That's what I said. I saw that there was a 2 and 3, so I assumed Ginger Snap was going to end with her like running into the woods or something. She's dead. I was like, I want to watch 2 just to see what they do to get a second movie. Cause she should be dead. Like, there's no way. So yeah. Yeah.
It's well, cause I think, believe it or not, that ruined Candyman for me.
Having the sequels?
The sequels ruined Candyman for me, straight up.
So you talking about the original sequels, not even getting to the Yaya sequel yet.
The original, yeah, definitely the original sequels. I actually enjoy the Yahya sequel.
Okay.
I think it does something new to add to the lore to it without retconning. It kind of does retcon, doesn't take away from who Daniel Robitaille is. So okay. I think things like that works. Or if you're doing, let's say, Star Wars Rogue One really works because these characters are not tied in to the main story, even though you do know the Death Star gets built and the Empire clearly is going to be the Empire, you don't know, since these characters you've never met before.
Yeah,
you think some of them are going to die and a few of them are going to hiding and do whatever, live modest lives. You don't know that they're all going to be stuck on this planet that's going to be one of the original places that the Death Star first rings off at. That's not to really see coming, and I think that's things like that works.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good Lord knows. We know how horror movies are with their sequels.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, just saw Halloween.
Bro, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what it is about a sequel. What I always tell people, because, you write. When you get a project and you think this shit is so great, it's good, I always say keep fucking writing. Even when you're done, keep writing that second installment because you're never going to get that same exact magic back. So when you do something like a Candyman or Ginger Snaps or whatever, even if you will never release a sequel, I say keep writing in that universe so that even when you do decide to do a remake, you have that same kind of spirit of the shit you were writing initially. And hindsight is 2020, but I always, when I end a book, I still write like 7-8 more chapters of like something in that world. So if I do revisit it, I could be like, all right, this is what I was feeling right off the heels of that first project. So
my method is a little different. Me being what my age is, I'm about to be 26. A lot of movies that were out when I was a toddler and a child were sequels or something. My mom was pregnant with me when the first Toy Story came out. So I really grew up on Toy Story 2. I grew up on Ferngully 2. I had all Dogs Go to Heaven 2. Shit, one of my cousin's favorite movies, Free Willy 3. We grew up on a lot of sequels, and something about them, and even I saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 before I saw the first one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
wow.
And then I'm saying, okay, the first one's way better. I enjoy the sequels because that's what I saw first, but they're not the first. So my method of that, because with me always writing, I write in pairs of twos and I write backwards.
Okay.
So I have the ending of the first story I want to tell, at the ending of the second story I want to tell. I write the first one backwards up to the beginning. I write the second one backwards that can pick up where the first one left off, but they're still two isolated things. So I can tie up with me having the ending first, me having the ending that I want first.
Yeah.
For the first joint, I can have it tie up there. If I don't do a second one because I don't feel it,
yeah,
it still can be there.
Right.
If I
want
to do a second one, I have something that it can go off of.
Mm-hmm.
And because niggas love waiting a few years to do a story, and then they're like, man, I don't know what happened with it. I don't know what didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so my perfect example, Halloween 2018, mm-hmm. phenomenal movie because they said, hey, let's do something. Let's take it back to the basics. Let's do this, this, and that. I thought they were just going to end it there.
Because
I remember seeing it. I said, okay, yeah, this is ill. Like, I think this is going to be done there. And I enjoyed Halloween Kills, but I don't take it as seriously as other people do.
Okay.
And but a lot of people hated it. Because they're like, man, it's just this, this, and that. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of how sequels go.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you really take your time with them.
Yeah.
That's kind of how sequels go. And I think that's what fucked up even with Scream 2.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't write it. They didn't have a plan for a sequel. They kind of wrote one. It leaked online. So they had to rewrite it again. And there you have it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so strange because that's even across the board. Like, if you look at, which is a completely different genre, but like Bring It On and Mean Girls, those are cult classic movies. Kids in high school, they both have sequels that are shit. Like, how do you get a teen movie that's already probably bad? You know, you go from, I don't know. So I bring this up to say, like, across the board in like so many genres, sequels, they're like a cash grab. Or they're like, let's just keep this going. Niggas like this shit, so let's just keep it going long enough to still make this money.
And that's what it's always been. So for those guys, like, always have a sequel in mind just in case.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just never know.
Yeah.
You really just never know. I think that's what made the original Star Wars trilogy work.
Yeah.
Because he always had in mind what he wanted to do with the next installments.
Mm-hmm.
But it could have, Star Wars itself could end at the first movie. If you watch that, just take everything else away. It is a perfect movie all the way through from the beginning to the end. They get their medals and the whole fight is over. You could leave it there.
Yeah.
And everything's done with. Because sequels are fucking cash grabs no matter what. If I just for inflation, that first Star Wars movie made almost $2 billion. They're going to make a in 1977.
Yo, yeah. Ooh, shit.
And just adjust for inflation. So that's who the hit it was.
Yeah. And that's still a lot of goddamn money.
Because I've been watching documentaries randomly about like my favorite horror series.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm like, why did it become so ass? I'm like, oh, the producers kept wanting to make movies and these niggas didn't make them no more.
Yeah.
Everybody kept leaving projects.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. This is why you get shit that is, even with TV shows, man.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Get those spinoffs that didn't nobody ask for.
And I'm just like, Nick, he mad at the end. The dude who created Squid Game mad at LeBron for saying he hated the ending. I said, bro, it's a setup for season two.
Mm. Yeah, and that was strange. Yeah, like, can you not see that? That's very clear.
Like, he said, no, it's my ending. I said, this is a setup. If you want to set something up, it's okay to set it up, but don't piss on me and tell me it's raining, bro. Like, hey. You set up a sequel.
Mm-hmm. And I'd be interested to see what the original ending was. Like, did he get on, what would have happened differently if the first option would have actually been the actual ending? I mean, he's like, we're getting that Netflix money, so let's go this route. Because, I mean, I'll watch it, but what are you going to do for a second Squid Game? That's a whole other...
That's the hard part about you knowing or coming back for multiple installments. That's why I like TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
They plan in advance what they're going to do until you get past that season 5 mark. And you're like, fuck, we're out of ideas.
Yeah. And yeah.
That's what, honestly, I'm scared for shows past season 3, if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talking about streaming, network, or both?
It depends on the show and it depends on what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like if you're a network show, if you're giving me more than three seasons and you give me 20 episodes a season, mm-hmm. at one point you're going to run out of ideas. Mm-hmm. I'm thoroughly shocked How I Met Your Mother kind of kept it somewhat fresh for as long as they did.
It wasn't.
It was solid. I was really still into it. I think people were mad at the ending, of course.
Wait, what is it?
How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was very controversial. Yeah. Yeah.
But thinking back on it, I think it's because I was so invested for so many years. But mm-hmm. thinking back, I said, yeah, this ending makes sense. Because when you rewatch it all the way through, you're like, yeah.
See, I watched that. I never knew. Well, I'm not going to say never knew, but I was never invested in them ending. Like, I just feel like, yeah, this is just a series about him telling his kids How I Met Your Mother, that's the joke that we'll never meet. Like, I never came into it like, okay, we'll ultimately find out who their mom is. But yeah, folks got opinions on that show, so.
Mm-hmm. It's because, and one thing I did learn about it, and looking back on, I don't know how the fuck we didn't know, they said all those scenes with those kids, those aren't loops. They filmed all those scenes with the kids at once. That's all they planned the ending from the very beginning.
Oh, yeah, because them motherfuckers are going to be old as shit. Like, how many seasons? Because
David, David Henry, he did Wizards of Waverly Place. Mm-hmm. He was I want to say David Henry may have been somewhere near 25 when the show ended. They were in their mid-20s by the time the show ended. So,
yo.
And by that point, I think it with network shows back then, you kind of had to. But in this day and age, you wrap it up.
Yeah.
Wrap it up.
Because there's no point in doing 22. Like, the fact that these UK shows can do 6 episodes and get a solid, thoughtful season out. Once I learned that, I'll say it's a wrap. I'm not watching 22 episodes of nothing. No.
People get mad at me about the Get Down ending. Because that show, there's nothing else for that show to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I said, there's nothing else you could really tell to make that story more interesting than it already was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, but.
But then it's also like, you know, what's too much? Because even if you do have a few more things, what else do you need? You add new characters? Like, what? We fell in love with these folks. The story ran its course. I understand you want more, but is it necessary?
It's not. It never is. That's why when y'all, I don't think we were cool back then. Watchmen first came out.
Yeah, no, I don't.
People were heated when Watchmen ended after one season. I said, what else is there to tell?
Story? And see, I didn't even finish Watchmen because I caught myself reviewing it. But I don't care about spoilers. But even within, like, looking at the marketing and like this next week on whatever, I was like, this is set in a alternate universe with some of the same events. Like what if the creators want to end it, though I might be invested, I still have the, like with Lovecraft Country, I love that show. If they never come back, I have that first season. I have those experiences, those memories, and I can always rewatch it. Like, it'd be nice, but like,
that's exactly how I feel. Like, it's over. I used to feel the same way. I'm like, no, we should keep it going. I'm like, wait a minute. I can continuously watch the same. Because here's what I would say. I said, there's no way in hell we can listen to the same music over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But with TV shows, movies, etc., you feel like you can only experience, you get the full experience just seeing it once.
Mm-hmm.
Here's benefits what I mean by rewatching it. Have you seen Community?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know there's an entire background storyline in one of the seasons. I think it's like season 2.
I heard that on like a YouTube video, but I never went back and like...
I rewatched it. Oh my God, it's all there. It's Abed making friends. It's Abed introducing these two people together. He's friends with them. One of them gets pregnant and he helps them. They have a baby and he helps them deliver a baby. This is all happening in the background of a whole fucking season.
Mm-hmm.
actually low-key season and a half. Like, yeah. Just, like, things like that. You put all the extra effort. I'm with it.
Yeah.
With it, for real.
I'll rewatch.
I'm rewatching Community again right now.
There's a show called Outlander that I'm just rewatching because the shit is so, it's very opposite of Community, but a chick in the 60s or the 50s, she goes to, her and her nigga, well, her husband, are from England, but they go to Scotland for like a honeymoon. She touched these rocks and gets sent back in time and like fall in love with this nigga. She like goes through historical American events, and I don't really, or French, Irish shit. Long story short, I watched it. It's done really well. It might not be everybody's cup of tea, but like rewatching that shit after watching four seasons and going back, it's like you picking up on shit that either you didn't know before, or now that you have a little bit more knowledge of what's coming, this makes a little bit more sense. Like, it's not boring just because I've seen it before. Like,
That's how I felt rewatching. I'm rewatching Insecure right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm done watching these evil ass movies, I'm about to pick it up again tonight before I go to bed. Yeah. I'm on season 3 right now. I'm peeping shit I never noticed in the first time. I'm like, I said Lawrence went out of his way to see Tasha from the bank.
Yep.
I'm like, oh. This, that. Oh, I'm seeing shit that I've never noticed forever, but It's okay to rewatch things, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah.
And no, they love doing it. Listen, I will say this about Insecure, because we're rambling at this point. Listen, it was hard being on Lawrence's side for so many years, man. They was dogging us out.
Just
sitting there. Like, I'm just sitting there. I didn't work at Best Buy, so I just had my uniform. I just had my uniform shirt on.
Yeah.
Like, it was a Best Buy shirt. Just rocking with them. It was tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Lawrence has been, I'm still low key part of Lawrence High, just a little bit. I got a shirt. I was trying to show you this shirt, but I don't know if I even got it. I got the Lawrence Hive Best Buy shirt.
Bro, I wanted that shirt so badly.
Yeah, I got one. But I got too much shit in that closet. But yeah, I'm still, you know, kind of, I'm in here. Oh, shit. I paid my dues and shit. You know, I'm still around, but
I'm still. You're still rocking with Lawrence, man.
I'm trying, man. You know, shit happens. Especially after this first episode, I'm still on the fence. Because I feel like, you know, folks have their thoughts. And I'm with them. But I'm also in the camp that shit, life happens. So even though there's this baby on the way.
I do think the show got too dramatic for my taste.
Okay, that's fair. I think that's fair.
I think you're telling the show about like some just regular, not regular life issues, but just like the lives of people. You're going, It kind of went too dramatic. I hate season 4. Hate season 4 with the passion. Mm. Oh my God. I remember when that show premiered. I said by episode 2, I called my friend. I said, I swear to God, if this show ends with he finally stopped being on some bullshit. Him and Issa stop being on some bullshit with each other. They finally take each other back. And he gets his girl pregnant. I said this at episode 2. I said, if he gets his girl pregnant, I'm a scream.
Yeah.
I'm a scream. That finale hit, I called my and I screamed on the phone at the top of my lungs.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know they fucking didn't. They did. This, remember the game at the end of season 2? It's why I hated the game season 3. I hate dealing with shit like this, bro.
Wait, was like, that the one with Brandy when she popped up and was, what's her name?
Early on, this Mama? Is early on in the show. This is back when it was still on the CW.
Oh, fuck, so, yeah.
So, actually, in the game ended, I think, I want to say it was the end of season 1. At the end of season 1 of the game, Derwin cheats on Melody.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
So all of season 2, there's pretty much split, which is a cool way for them to spin season 2, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Entire season, 20 episodes, they're spin broken up. So she's living her life, he's living his life, and you got to get that separation from one another.
Mm-hmm.
He gets his girl he was seeing pregnant after him and Melanie decide to get back together.
Yeah.
So that whole third season, we're dealing with the fallout of that. I'm like, oh my God, I hate like, bro.
It's a soap opera, man. They go get
bro.
You.
Bro. Listen, when I make a show, we're not doing none of that shit, bro.
Hey, you gotta have clones, you gotta have lasers, baby mamas,
bro.
Game of Thrones type shit.
Yeah. The question is, what I chose at that moment, I'm like, if I have to choose between Issa and my child, am I seriously going to choose the child? with the woman that I don't even really like that.
Yo, because I was like, you niggas can co-parent. Like, y'all do not have to be together. Like, it's not.
And he said, like, I don't know. I'm like, Issa, you're like 33, okay?
Man, like, no, real talk. I was like, and you know, it's your prerogative, but yeah.
Like you're like, actually, Issa's character is about, so I know she was, she's I don't know 30s. What the gap between this fucking show is. She's, but in reality, Issa's 36.
Mm-hmm.
So if Issa's about 36, I think, because I remember her character was 2 years younger. So I'm like, you may be 33, 34. Mm-hmm. Girl,
yeah,
girl. Like,
what is going on? I guess I get it, but odds are the older we get, you're going to run into motherfuckers with kids or with baggage, like.
Bro,
and this is a nigga who you know him.
Man,
damn, this man's damn. Like, get out. I'm damn. Sorry. Yeah,
bro, that's how it be. Man, I'm still just here chilling, playing my own video games. I'm talking about they got fuck the
yo, bro. Nah, I feel it.
Nah, like that. I'm just like, and the one thing I was telling people, I said this season's gonna end with her choosing herself.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
I said the show's called Insecure. She's gonna choose herself at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm. The last episode should be called Secure. Just changed everything.
I swear to God, if they do, imagine they do an episode where they skip like a few years into the future,
mm-hmm.
and they finally able to get together like in their 40s.
Man, at that point, fuck both of y'all. Just get with somebody else. Y'all, cat and mouse and shit. They're toxic, man.
Yeah. Hey. At least Issa got them teeth.
Get the fuck, bro.
Those big ass teeth.
Yo, he said at least Issa got them teeth. Now, you're right, though. You're right.
That's now, I made this joke a few years ago. Niggas got mad at me for saying this, so. All right, let me show you something. I'm not going to say nothing. I'm just going to show you this.
Bruh. What is that SpongeBob with a? What is that in this nigga mouth? Is that a kazoo? What the fuck is that, fam? Is that him teethless? Yo, get away. Get away, bro. I see it. Get that shit out of here. Why he got all them teeth in his fucking mouth? Yeah. This shit's big as fuck. Oh.
Hold on, we find this out. Because you're going to see why the hoes are funnier.
Bro.
By the way, you forgot your briefcase.
Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Oh my God! Nigga, see the teeth. Bro, yeah, nah. Nah. Nah, yeah, they got the same teeth. They got the same teeth. That don't make no fucking sense. Ain't no way.
Ain't I'm no glad Kelly's way. Acknowledging that she's just a fat friend.
Yo, because that's, man, I was.
They told her to shut the fuck up. I said, that's their version of shut up and dribble.
No, for real, because that shit, I felt for her. I was like, these hoes ain't even acknowledged. They killed you. These hoes do not care. They killed you. Yo.
Bro, that
they wrong, fam.
Nah, that's hilarious, man.
Yeah, they killed her girl. She had the stankiest of stanky legs. Yo.
Okay. Nah, that's hilarious, man. Nigga said she's sitting there. That's funny, man. That's really funny.
This is terrible. It's terrible. Yeah, but I'm interested now, like, to see where we're going from here, because that's some traumatic shit. You hoes got robbed. They killed off Kelly. Derek and Tiffany is fake as fuck. Like, what's next?
I will say the writing so far has been better than season 4. Mm-hmm. I really mean it with a passion when I say I hate season 4. I barely like season 2.
Oh, what this nigga? Yo.
Season 2 was almost everything I hated about the show. I didn't think that was... I thought we was going through a rough patch. Season 3 was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, season 3 is cool. We're getting back there. Season 4, I said, goddamn. You broke my heart again. We don't know where any of these niggas went. Daniel up and disappeared. You made a whole 3 storylines about him. This nigga disappears.
Bro, he was in.
Where's the light skin nigga?
Nathan? Oh, he coming back. Nathan. Yeah, I saw him. I saw him in the super trailer. But Daniel, yeah, that nigga is in The Purge Part 1. That's where he at. Or in the photograph. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the niggas that he can't really act. but he looked good, so they let him get it off.
Yeah, said, all right, I can see that.
We're gonna find specific roles for you.
Yeah, very specific dialogue, too. Yeah. Yeah, he got a lot of teeth like Issa, too. Yeah, that nigga got a lot of teeth. Oval mouth. No,
who's the nigga that got a lot of teeth for real, bro?
Jay Ellis, he got a lot too.
Not him. The tall nigga. You know who? You know who? Dro.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, I was so mad at Molly. I was so mad at Molly for that.
I mean, you know, everybody.
Fucking married nigga.
You know, Dro was. I just wish they had did more with Dro and his wife.
Oh, yeah. Damn, I'm just remembering. Do I hate season 3? Do I like the show?
Nigga, did you like anything past season 1? The fuck?
Nah, season 1 was phenomenal, bro. Like, I hold season 1 to a high standard.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I said, from a pure storytelling perspective, you could say Atlanta and Insecure were on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's true anymore. Damn, it's gonna sound like I'm shitting on the show when this episode.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's with love, you know, it's all love.
I still really like the show. I like the dynamics and the characters. I think that's and the music. That's what I will come back to the show.
Sure. Their music is always spot on. Always.
I don't hate season 2. I hate the way they were dragging on the Lawrence and Issa beef.
Mm-hmm.
They was dragging that shit on forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, before we go, one more thing. Did you see the little sorority? Because were you on Twitter when that happened?
Yes.
I was on Twitter that day.
Damn. I was crying laughing. The whole fucking...
That response that Issa had for him?
Bruh.
She brought back Awkward Black Girl. I said, nah, this is hilarious.
Man, say. I was like, this bitch is stupid. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Ain't no... I'm not even Greek. And I had enough sense to know... Why would HBO put a trademark like paraphernalia on screen without getting licensed for it? Like, why would they just put a Pepsi can on good and damn well? You could get sued for that. Like, what the
and two? And here's my second point. Here's my pure second point. It's acting, so who gives a shit?
Bro, say you, well, okay.
Here's acting. Who gives a shit? I have witnessed, take away actors doing brown and black face or any harmful stereotypes. I have witnessed Daniel Day-Lewis win an Oscar for the movie My Left Foot. Mm. I have witnessed Forrest Gump. I have witnessed a huge amount of things. It's not like Here's how I explained it. It's not like some regular person who is pretending so they can get some pull.
Mm-hmm.
So they can get some pull and getting into circles that they normally wouldn't have been
right.
In. Yep. It's acting. So no, if it's in a character that, oh, they all went to college with each other, so-and-so is an AKA, so-and-so is a blank.
Yeah, why is that an issue?
And if you're going to your college reunion, because then again, you got to be rude. Because then again, you don't need to find an AKA actress because that's not what Tiffany's whole character is about. She just happens to be one.
Yep.
But if you have an episode where you go to your college reunion, bro, so many people in my family are Greek. Mm-hmm. They still rock their shit to this day. Mm-hmm. These motherfuckers are in their 50s and above. They still rock their shit to this day. The amount of niggas, my mom used to have a nonprofit organization. Her and her friends had different organizations. They still all do events together. Mm-hmm. I used to witness these Q dogs in their fucking 50s with kids my age. Niggas get together. They still got on the gold boots. Yeah. At a car wash. They got the gold boots.
Yo.
Yeah. The shorts, the shirt. We doing a car wash and they still doing the whole shit. Like, you're doing events and you're going back to for things in your name.
Yeah.
They're going to. If you don't have her in her gear, that's not going to be realistic.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's silly for everything you said. This is an actress. Also, I wasn't aware that Tiffany was an AKA. There was a girl on Twitter who was like, yo, in season one, they established that her and Molly.
They mentioned it at all.
And I just didn't remember that because I saw Tiffany in her bakery.
They mentioned it in. Mm-hmm. I think they remember they mentioned it in, I believe it's the episode when Molly was dating a dude who worked at Enterprise.
Okay.
And he mentioned he didn't go to college. I believe they mentioned it in that episode.
That makes sense. But I was just like, how are you this up in arms? I get the idea of wanting to, like, hold your tradition to a certain standard. But Tiffany has not been, like, a drug addict, stereotype. Like, she's been a light-skinned woman of a certain education, of a certain social status, who is regular as fuck, but just a little bit bougie. Like, there's nothing that Tiffany has
done. Of course, what does that description sound just like?
Like, you ain't gonna get me. You ain't gonna get me the same. She's skiing and weeing.
he said, not me. Not me.
But that's not what I'm me. Saying. Like Amanda said, I am an actress. Like, she, at the very least, looks the part. And she's at Stanford, which I know they had as many black people as Issa is portraying them having. But
I will say this. As somebody who, I went to PWI, I went to Texas Tech University. Mm-hmm. They're damn near accepting anybody. They're trying to become a tier one school.
Okay.
By the time I graduated, they out of 40,000 students, we had about maybe 5,000 to 6,000 black people.
Okay.
The number was half that when I was a freshman.
Yeah.
Before I didn't get into the black community until, because I just didn't go outside my freshman year.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how many black people were on campus until my sophomore year. I said, oh, y'all niggas are here.
Y'all here.
I said, where y'all been at? Not in class.
Yo.
But yeah. Once you see that, because maybe Issa went to Stanford. I don't remember what school she went to. She went to like a really good school.
Yeah, she did. But I don't know if it was.
But you can't really portray, because if you weren't hanging out with white students, I sure wasn't.
Yeah.
I'm not going to portray.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to portray, because actually I wrote a little series about a bunch of college students, and it takes place at a PWI, but they're not really being around a bunch of white kids because that's not their circles.
Right.
Why would I? But that's kind of what Issa's whole thing is, what she's doing too.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hang out with your people. And she does a good job at that.
I think so. I think so too. Yeah. This is really, really good. Like, I thought this was a great opening episode to go back to your roots.
Atlanta's still better.
I mean, you know.
I love Insecure though, man. I'm pushing Atlanta agenda till I die.
Yeah, I mean, it's worthy. It's worthy of it because, yeah, I wish.
That's my nigga Paperboy. Hey, they said they finished filming season three, so
Good.
Hopefully spring we get it.
Man, I want a crossover episode. Honestly, I want Issa to pop up. It ain't got to be nothing serious. Just be at this wherever they eating food. Let Issa and Molly be there. Just,
you know how awkward it would be to see Donald Glover and Issa Rae on screen together.
Well, I guess they knew each other early on, because remember that episode of Awkward Black Girl?
Donald was big on the internet.
Yeah. At the time. Yeah, it was. He was on an episode, but it was so quick. But White Jay, the nigga she was dating, the white boy, took her to this spoken word thing, but he didn't tell her what it was. And so Donald Glover was... No, Childish Gambino was performing. They run into him. She think they're going to see that. She disappointed that they're going to spoken word. And when White Jay, Jay, Issa's character, and Donald Glover were together, he said something. He was like, yeah, tell your dad, Danny Glover, I said I like his movie. I have to go back and find. That shit was fucking weird as fuck.
Here's why that joke is hilarious, because... The amount of people that I know kept calling him Danny Glover when I was like 14, 15 is the funniest shit ever. Bruh. Even when I first said, I think when I first saw his comedy special and it said Donald Glover presents. And I said, I'm like, wait a minute. I said the nigga from Lethal Weapon?
That's him. No,
but they're just naturally awkward people. So yeah. Like, I'll never want to be there for their conversations.
Well, yeah.
Like, it's just, I feel like I'll just be cringing like all the fucking time.
Bro,
those are my favorite Negroes.
For sure. Same.
Wish. Hold on. Let me check the score. Good. Man, good having you on the episode, bro.
Hey, yeah, it's been a minute. Glad to be back.
Yeah. Hey, man. Just so y'all know, I'm probably gonna go into a little detail about it in an actual like post, but I need a break from podcasting for a bit. I didn't realize I'm 50 episodes deep.
Yeah.
I need a break from podcasting. Mm-hmm. I may go on like a little 6-week hiatus. So I just need a detox and finish this damn book. So,
that's me. All of November.
So this is officially my last episode until maybe December.
Bro. Maybe. I thought you said this my last episode until May. I was like, God damn, nigga. What the fuck? Okay. Yikes. No.
Maybe December, because I think I'm going to get drunk and do one before we go celebrate my birthday in December. Okay. So,
that's what's up.
Yeah, but appreciate you for being on.
Man, thanks, man.
Anytime, of course. You know, we always got to hop on some shit.
For sure.
But, all right,
bro.
And you guys take care. I'll catch y'all soon.